name is Ken Rathburn. I'm one of the elders here at New Albany Presbyterian Church. And I have the privilege of delivering the message today as I get to from time to time when Pastor David is gone and he is on vacation this week. And I'd like to start by saying thank you to Tanner, who preached last week, and did he do a great job? A really great job. But he also inadvertently, I think, gave me some material because he started off with a joke, and he said, you know, he was away at seminary, and he comes back here from time to time and preaches and teaches and does other things. So he's kind of in and out of NAPC, and that we should think of him like Newman from Seinfeld. Because, you know, kind of wandering in and, you know, playing a bit part and then heading back out. And so, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny, too. And I mentioned it to my wife, and then I said to her completely rhetorically, not looking for a response. So, if Tanner's supposed to be Newman, who do you think that makes me? My wife of 13 years, mother of my three children, looked right at me. She didn't pause. It's like it just rolled right off her tongue. And she goes, oh, definitely Kramer. And then I think when I made that face, she started to laugh and pretend that it was a joke. Kramer. Incidentally, on a totally unrelated note, Lisa's not here today. I didn't invite her this morning to the message. No, that's not true. Actually, she's out of the country where she has been throughout the whole week on a business trip. I pray for her safe travel, which will be back in a couple days. But that meant that she hasn't been here to help me with my pre-sermons kind of schedule and plan that I walked through. Fortunately, my parents were a huge help to me this week. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for helping with the kids and stepping in and seeing how I go through procrastination followed by excessive irritability, and then ultimately I move on somewhere in Saturday afternoon into complete and total freakout mode, which is where we find ourselves right now. So if I'm off my game a little bit today, you know, it's Lisa's fault. That's all I can do. I don't know what else to say. Except she's going to listen to the podcast, so I'm going to pay for that probably later. But anyway, that's enough stories about me. Because today we're going to look at stories that are infinitely more valuable and infinitely more important than that in my week. We're going to look at parables that Jesus teaches us. But first, let's, if you could, I would like to pray so that you could bow your head with me and I'll pray to the Lord. Lord, thank you for this day. We thank you that the sun has come out. It reminds us of new birth and of the new birth that you fostered in each of us because of the work that you did on the cross. And God, I thank you for this morning, and I ask you to take over this message. I ask you to control it and lead it, and let it be everything about you and absolutely nothing about me. And I pray that in your name. Amen. So, if you've been here in our church for the last several weeks, you know that throughout this year, most of 2015 already, and really for most of 2015 that remains, we are going to be doing a series on the Gospel of Mark, going through it from beginning to end. And we are in chapter 4 right now, looking at parables, and if you'll follow along with the insert that you have, I'll read from Mark 4, 21 to 34. And he said to them, "Is a lamb brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed, and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and
and the sea sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately, to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. So, we've been looking at parables for the last couple of weeks, and that's important because it says right here at the end of the passage, actually, that, well, Jesus uses them all the time. It says in 33 and 34, he did not speak to them, meaning his audiences, without a parable. Of course, that doesn't mean he spoke only in parables, because we do have evidence that he clearly spoke otherwise, but he seemed to use them all the time. And so over the last 2 weeks, we've learned a few things about parables. We've learned that they teach us indirectly. It is an indirect way of teaching, but often what's said within a parable can be more succinct and even maybe more clear than a full direct explanation. We've also seen that they both reveal and conceal truth. That at the same time, one single parable can reveal the truth of God's word to open hearts that are ready to receive it. But that same parable can conceal the truth from hearts that are hardened, that are opposed to the truth and not ready to receive it. So today we take that and we apply it to these three parables. We look at three parables that are about the kingdom of God. And in those three parables, we're going to try to extract five principles about God's kingdom. Now, when we say God's kingdom, we mean two things. It shows up two ways throughout the Bible, always together. First is kind of a large view of God's kingdom, that it is the ever-increasing redemption of and reign over God's creation. That one day a time will come where God will completely reign on earth just as he reigns in heaven today, just as he was supposed to reign and rule from the beginning. But at the same time, we can take a very small view of the kingdom of God, as it is the change that takes place within our own hearts. That as Christians, as followers of Jesus, the kingdom of God grows inside us through the work of the Holy Spirit, and we are transformed into the likeness of Christ. Three parables that give five principles. So here's the first one. It starts small, grows slowly, but becomes amazing. Now, I know it's going to shock a lot of you to hear this, especially if you've ever been to my house and seen my yard, but I am not a horticultural expert. I know, it's like I haven't tagged, I don't know what to say. I really bombed, didn't I? Anyway. So for today, I had to do a little bit of research. Because in the third parable, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Now, I really didn't know actually how small a mustard seed is. I've eaten mustard, and I've eaten ground mustard, but I've never seen a seed. And so here's a pile of mustard seeds, and as you can see from the legend, the mustard seeds may be, I don't know, 1-2 millimeters across. Pretty small. Almost insignificant. Something that you might just cast aside or throw away. If you didn't know what it was, you wouldn't think it's very important. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. That seems odd. And then he continues, back in the second parable, he says that man scatters seeds on the ground, and over night and day, the seed sprouts and grows. But it doesn't come in a minute, it doesn't come in an hour, it doesn't even come in a day. It takes days and days. Slowly but surely there's growth, almost imperceptible growth. Now, in our world and in our community, that's probably not what we want to hear about the kingdom of God. See, we tend, if we're honest with ourselves, to worship things that are big and fast. They're the kings. Big money, big fame, rapid results, and instant gratification. If someone refers to something as meek or minuscule or methodical, they don't mean it as a compliment. But Jesus says that's how God works. That little by little, through little tiny seeds of faith, there's slow growth. How about you in your own life? Have you seen anything like that? That maybe you wish you could already get through something that you're dealing with, but God says, not quite yet. He says, stick with me, and I'll turn this tiny seed of faith into something exceptional, but just not yet, not in the way you think. But notice that not yet, it doesn't mean not ever. That with the last parable, Jesus does show us that something amazing is coming. And just like this picture of a mustard plant, full grown, I have no idea who this dude is, I've gotten something like that. It's about 8 or 9 feet tall, strong enough for the birds of the air to perch in it. It becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in the shade. Now, that's a pretty significant image. It might not seem like it at first, but throughout the Old Testament, we see the prophets give images of ladders and stairways and trees, mountains, light, different things, that there will be a reuniting of heaven and earth, that the kingdom will come in a powerful way where God will reign fully in both places. And Jesus says, it's coming. It's coming. It's neither starting how you thought or arriving as fast as you might wish. But something someday will reunite heaven and earth, and both will be part of the kingdom of God. Okay? So how does that relate to us? How is this going to happen? You can almost hear the people listening asking Jesus, well, get on with it. You know, quit telling us stories. Quit fooling around with this misfit group you call disciples and bring the kingdom. So how does it happen? At least at the start, it happens through and to you. And no, I didn't mess up the outline for the second blank, that's, or third blank, that's meant that way to go together. Look at the first parable in verse 21. It's a lamp brought in to be put under a basket, or under a bed, and not on a stand. How do we use a lamp? Do we hide it away? Do we turn it off when we try to use it? It's to share its light. It's to cast its light on something else. Jesus says right after that, it's to make manifest what would be hidden in darkness. And it says at the end of the passage that he spoke to them about God's word. The light is God's word that is manifesting what's been hidden. The sin that lives within us and the salvation that comes through him. Like it, the second parable shows the farmer scattering the seed, and that God's word is the true good seed that gives incomparable growth. But in both cases, there has to be some sort of delivery. The light comes from a lamp, and the seed comes from the farmer. And the word of God, most especially, is delivered through us as part of the body of Christ. But to give you an example of that, my wife and I support a handful of different Christian ministries, but one of the ones we support is one called Athletes in Action. And it's a, is anyone familiar with that? It's a college ministry that does outreach and discipleship for college athletes. And they operate on, I think, 200 plus campuses in the United States, and then also go on ministry teams and projects to start other ministries on campuses around the world, believing that athletes, for whatever reason, hold a special place in society, and if we can reach them, they have a platform And so one of the things that this organization happens to do is it runs a project in Puerto Rico. And so my cousin, who's actually on the staff of the organization, asked us if we would consider going on the project this summer. And I thought he meant Lisa and I, but he said, oh no, it's open to your whole family. And so, crazy as it might be, the whole Rathburn clan went to Puerto Rico. And you can see this one, he didn't carry much. That's me in the background hauling everything through the airport. 3-year-olds, you know. But so we went there, we stayed in a dorm. Yes, all 5 of us in one dorm room. And it was interesting. We got a lot of questions when we said we were going to go on this trip. Are you building houses? No, we're not doing that. Oh, you must be like digging wells or something somewhere in a remote part of it. No, what are you doing? We're talking to people about Jesus. Really? Was usually the response that I got. But that's what we did. This is a picture of a bunch of college students on the Inter-Americana University campus where we stayed, just before we were ready to walk around and talk to them, anybody we found, about Christ. Here's another picture of a vision casting night, where the director, you can see him there off to the side, is talking about how there was no ministry for Athletes in Action in Puerto Rico as recently as 2012, zero. And that now we see this many people for a 2-week project crammed into a room. That's my kids kind of to the right there, sitting on the lap of one of the students. And then there's this picture, which is an example of we ate lunch in the cafeteria and we started to talk to people about Jesus. And guess what? People listen. I mean, we live in a world where nobody wants to do it, and nobody wants it, and it's kind of offensive, and it's hard to share in that way, but people are open to talk about the world. We also have some fun when we were there. There's a couple pictures about that. But the best part about it was getting to shine the light and getting to scatter some seed. Over a 2-week period, there were 400 or so conversations with different students on campus, 225 individual presentations of the gospel, resulting in 22 new followers of Christ that are part of the ministry on campus there. Absolutely nothing in 2012, and now through constant focus on the campuses in Puerto Rico, there are ministries on 2 campuses that are completely self-sustaining, run by Puerto Rican students and staff and Athletes in Action themselves. And it will be fully turned over to them in 2017, and they already have plans to say, okay, where are we going to go? We can reach the Caribbean better than the people from the States can. And they even have plans now, which never would have been heard of a few months ago, to go to Cuba. But that's how God's kingdom works, through his people. Now you might say, that's great for you, but you're at least the backup preacher guy, so of course you're willing to go around and talk to people about Jesus, but what about me? I don't have answers. All I've got are questions. What if I mess up? Maybe I should just stay here. I should let the kingdom come to me before I let it grow through me. And after a few months or a couple decades, maybe I'll be ready to go out and talk to people about Jesus. It's kind of the attitude we all have, right? I mean, let's just be honest. But look what Jesus says after the first parable. He kind of says that's not really how this is supposed to work. Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What in the world is he talking about? Well, the word measure, we think of weight. But here, Jesus means value. He means, what's your attitude and approach? What's your love for the kingdom of God? Because what happens when you love something? If truly value something, you talk to people about it. You tell them what it is. You want to share it with them. Let me give you an example that happens right here in this church every week. You don't have to know where to go or anywhere else to do it. How many people here are small group leaders, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders of any kind? Come on, no, like alligator arms, as David would say. So what happens when you lead a small group or a Sunday school class? You prepare, right? Because you want the people that you're going to teach to love it. You want them to soak it up. You want them to feel God's word. You want to discuss it and have them enjoy it and internalize it in their hearts. So you spend time on it. You dig into the study. You study the Bible study. You look at the passages, you go through the questions and come up with answers, you come up with follow-up questions to share for that, and then you go and you have the discussion and the study, and when it's all said and done, who grew the most? Who loved the passages the most? You did, as the leader, right? Because only by sharing it, if you've got knowledge of Jesus, share it with other people. Jesus says, that's how it grows. You don't keep it to yourself. You share it with others. On a completely unrelated note, our church is planning a mission trip to Mexico in January. Totally different for you to think about. Third, it's independent of you, making it guaranteed. And you say, how is that not contradictory to the last point? You just said, it comes through us, it comes to us. How in the world can that be true if it's independent of us? Well, let's look at the second parable. What's it say? It says, the man carefully puts the seed on the ground. He plants it individually exactly where it goes. He watches it, he waters it, he focuses on it, he tends to it, he weeds around it, he toils over it all the time, right? It says exactly the opposite. Look at the parable. It says, he sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain, and the ear. All this guy knows how to do is sleep and scatter seed. Those seem to be his two best skills. In fact, he doesn't really even know what's happening or why it's happening. And yet, the crops, well, there's more of them. They just start to grow, and they continue to grow. Now, when it says the earth produces by itself, that phrase by itself in the Greek is the word automata, from which we get the word automatic, or automatically. You see, you can scatter the seed, and you can toil over it, you can do whatever you want, but at the end of the day, if God wills it to happen, He wills it to happen. And Jesus says, it's about Him. It's about what He does. It's about what He wants to happen, not about you. So, His purposes are guaranteed. And to take that a step further, I'll just go ahead and say it. It's really not about you, or me, or anybody else. What makes for a good lamp? Is it the flashing neon sign that you see in the bar or restaurant on the wall? Is it maybe the tall, high-heeled leg lamp from A Christmas Story? If you say yes to either of those, I will question not only your theology, but your taste. A few weeks ago, Lisa and I went to a housewarming party at a friend's house, and it was a beautiful home. Very well designed, beautifully decorated. But one of the best things about it was the lighting. And why was it one of the best things about it? Well, not because it had big, giant, ostentatious light fixtures in the middle of the house, which was the only thing you noticed when you walked in the room, but not because all of the lighting was dim or off or hidden away where it wasn't doing anything. It was because it was there to shine on something else. To illuminate just the right parts of every room, from the kitchen counters to the yard. And
church. You see, the mission of that APC is not to be happy through lives changed by Jesus Christ. It's not. Although that happens to a lot of us. It's not to find personal fulfillment in your life through lives changed by Jesus Christ. Although that happens too. And it's also not even to have your most central need met through lives changed by Jesus Christ, although that most certainly happens all the time. No, it's to glorify God through lives changed by Jesus Christ. I heard a pastor once say that if you look for your own happiness, your own fulfillment, your own glory, eventually you look for it in the wrong places and you end up with nothing. But if you seek to glorify God, if you seek to make it not about you and about Him, then you glorify Him and you get all the other stuff thrown in. So you can see where it's headed. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Now, I struggled with the ending to this message. Yes, even more than I struggled with the part of the message that you've heard so far. Because my natural inclination here was to just give you a list. I'm a lawyer, for those of you that don't know. I like lists. I like processes. I like steps. It's very easy to follow, right? So it'd be easy to say, okay, three parables, five principles, X number of practices. And there you go. Kingdom of God growth 101 wrapped up in a little ribbon. But if it's a kingdom, it's not about practices of the subjects, really, right? It's about the King. You see, spiritual practices are only valuable to the extent that they're not an end in themselves, but that they point us to the King. And some to-do list doesn't motivate, it doesn't inspire, it doesn't do any of those things. It's not powerful. The King is powerful. And He tells us that Himself. In the book of Acts, Jesus says the entirety of Scripture is about Him, start to finish. Everything is about Him. In the Gospel of John, right in the beginning, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Think about that and consider parables one more time. The parables are told by Jesus, and they're talking about the kingdom of God. But what are those parables really about? Really? Who's the lamp? Who's the brightest and truest light that decided to come from perfect light down into the darkness? And when He was here, they covered Him with darkness of death, but He overcame it. Who is the Word made flesh, the true seed of the kingdom of God, who went down into the ground, scattered and shredded and put in the grave, so we can sprout up in new life? And lastly, a new symbol He gives us. Not symbol of a mustard plant, but of a different tree, if you will. Not one that grew out of the ground, but one that He was nailed to. You see, on the cross of Christ, heaven and earth finally are reunited. The amazing finally happens, not in the way anyone thought, not how we may have wanted it to happen, but the way it needed to. You see, every other religion, every other faith, every other doctrine of how to fix yourself is just about that. It's about yourself. It's all about you getting up to God. Your performance, you meeting some standard, you following the set of rules, your achievement. And when you feel like you've done it, you feel better than all the people that you think haven't. And you get arrogant and prideful. And when you feel like you've failed and you haven't, you feel dejected and destroyed. But the gospel is different. The gospel is the only thing that says it's not about you. It's not about you going up. It's about God coming down. It's not about your performance. It's about His performance. It's not about you solving your own sins. It's about His provision for your sin. It's not about you saving yourself. It's about His salvation through grace. And in that message, there's power. A lot more than a to-do list to give you. Power to engage in great spiritual practices, but only in response to what He's done already for you. But to do that, you have to come to Him. And you have to come to Him as the King. Not as a genie to get you out of your problems. Not as some equal that you can negotiate with, that you can hide certain things from, that you can leave part of your life separate and just have Him sort of rounded out. He's a King. There's only one way you come to a King. On your knees. On His terms. Because of who He is, the Word made flesh. Is He your King? Is He really your King? And is the kingdom of God growing to you and through you? Please pray with me for a moment, and then we will do the Lord's Prayer, which will be up on the screen. As you know, the prayer has different words than what we traditionally have said in the Presbyterian Church here and there, and that's not because we think it needs editing or changing, but because sometimes when we do things through rote memory, we often just do it and don't think about it. And so we want people to pause and think about the message from our Lord. Please bow your heads with me. Father, we come to You and we lay down our life because You came in the person of Jesus and laid down Yours. Not to get something from You, but because it's due to You. It's because of what You've done. Because we acknowledge that there's nothing that You can't ask of us. And so we come with our hearts open and our hands open and ask, how might Your kingdom grow in this church? How might Your kingdom grow in each of our hearts? That New Albany Presbyterian Church may be, albeit a small one, a launching place for another wing of the kingdom of God. We thank You for Your salvation by grace, that it's not about us and it's only about You. What great news that is. And we thank You for Your teachings, that when You were here, You shared parables with us, and You shared teachings that teach us not only how to live, but who to live for, so that we might want to live as You would have us live. And we pray to You now, and we pray together in the words that You have taught us. And we say, Our Father in heaven, Your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom.